according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I'm just so used to saying that. We don't normally recite that here in the ministry workshop. Good to see everyone here tonight. Appreciate this. We have been weeks, even months, since we've had a Sunday evening ministry workshop class. We had given over the 7:30 time slot to the Growing Kids God's Way program, which was really edifying and a blessing for those that were able to make it out for that. But they finished up what they were doing last week, and so we were blessed to go ahead and resume what we're doing starting tonight. Come on in, find a seat. This is good. I've got some deacons tonight. Remember the size room we need for the new facility. We want our media room to be larger than this in the new facility. Part of what we like to do in this session is have a little bit more of an interactive format. And so when we get to a question and answer time, we will be able to take questions from the floor and interact back and forth. We also have we call this the media room. We have the equipment here to hook up to the plasma, to run the Bible software, to be able to do some various Bible searches if we wanted to do some of those, some language work, things like that. We even have, you know, the high-speed internet in this room. If we needed to go to a website, we could do that. Things like that are available. Ideally, a day would even come that we would be a remote campus, for example, for Schaefer Seminary, if there were some courses being offered at West Houston Bible Church or other things that are online. We'd be able to log in and put it up on the screen and have the flexibility to do things like that. All right, well, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer, and we'll consecrate our time and ask for the Father's blessing of our thoughts and everything that's done tonight. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we do thank you for your faithfulness, and Father, for the way that you minister, for the way that you faithfully work in and through us for your good pleasure. And Father, I thank you for believers that are curious, interested, even burdened to learn about their spiritual gift, to learn about their work assignment. Father, as they approach the conviction that we must be about our Father's business, I pray that each one of us would come to understand and recognize our gift, our ministries, and the effects that you have to accomplish in and through us for your good pleasure. We ask for your blessing upon our time tonight, and we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. If this is the first time you've been with us, let me just explain a couple of things. We presently are engaged in training believers for their spiritual gift, up to and including, that's every spiritual gift for the permanent duration of the church age. That includes even pastor teachers. We don't see in the Scripture where we can train most believers, but then we have to outsource pastor teachers to a seminary or school somewhere because basically, you know, we're over our heads at that point. We don't know what we're doing. No, Scripture says that it's the local church that is the place for the equipping of the saints for the work of service in Ephesians 4, 11, and 12. And we believe that the Word of God pertains to all things necessary for life and godliness. That includes training pastors for ministry. So we have a training ministry. We have a variety of men that are training for pastor teachers, some men that are training for evangelists. Believers are training for every gift. We're going to outline for you the gifts tonight. There are 11 of them that are permanent gifts for the duration of the church age. And you have at least one of those gifts. There are some pastors that believe it's one and only one. I believe that's the reading of 1 Peter 4. But we have more than 1 Peter 4 to understand our total package on spiritual gifts. If 1 Peter 4 was the only passage on spiritual gifts, then I would agree that you have one and only one. But I believe that Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and other passages allow for gifts beyond a single gift. And we'll see some examples of that. In fact, our Timothy series on Sunday morning is a good one for that, because trying to pin down Timothy's gift, if he only has one, is a tough animal to put in a cage. And it's quite possible that Timothy had a variety of gifts that were described with the laying on of hands and prophetic utterance at the point that he was ushered into the church age. So we'll have some things to say about that as well. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are born again, sitting here tonight, you have a gift. You received it the moment you became a believer. And you may not know what that gift is. You may go for years and years not knowing what that gift is. But it's the will of God for you to operate in accordance with your gift. He designed you to function in the body of Christ with the gift that He designed you to function with. And so that's part of what we're going to discuss here as well. You can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or you can look up to the screen where I have it posted up there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4, 5, and 6 tonight. verses 4, 5, and 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is something that we taught in 1 Corinthians. We then taught it again in basic doctrinal studies under charismatology. We have notebooks out in the hallway on basic doctrinal studies. We also have a CD out in the hallway on basic doctrinal studies. And this has all 62 audio messages, of which the final 10 or so were on charismatology, on spiritual gifts. So these are available. I would encourage you, if you were not here for that, to get that material and review that. It's on a basic level, kind of what we're going to approach tonight. We're going to use tonight to introduce this, still keeping it on a basic level, but we're going to go beyond basics. I've even titled this MP3 Intermediate Charismatology, that we are moving beyond basics to develop the intermediate stage of gifts, ministries, and effects. How do I know? And if once I do know, how do I tell everybody else so that I'm not the only one who knows? All right? We are a body. We're to be working with one another. And so what your gift is not only important to you, it's important to me. I need to know what your gift is. Everybody else needs to know what your gift is so that we can work together, we can operate together as one body in Christ. And that's what we'll deal with. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4, 5, and 6 describe the Trinity at work in and through us in three broad areas. Somebody read that verse for me. Anyone? There you go. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. All right, now the word varieties, we taught this, the word varieties, go ahead and substitute the word distributions. There are distributions of gifts from the verb to distribute. All right? To distribute, to distribute, or however that works. All right? It's a long day. We're going to have some fun tonight. But the idea is that you distribute. You've got a whole bunch of gifts, and so you're going to give out, and everybody gets one. And they don't get one based on what they've earned or deserved. They get one based on God's sovereignty. That's why it's a gift of grace. And actually, a gift is a grace thing, which we'll see here in a moment. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You received it the moment you were saved. All right, so there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. I'm just going to write them up here. These are the charismata. C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A-T-A. Charismata, charisma in the singular, charismata in the plural. And it comes from charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, meaning grace. Literally, neuter plural, these are grace things. Grace things. Your gift is a grace thing that God has given. Your gift or gifts. All right, there are a variety of gifts, but one Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, distributes these gifts. And he does so as a part of the grace package. You received 36, 37, 39, 54, 74 things. Depending on which pastor you listen to, they've all got different outlines. All right. I like the 74 list myself because it's the longest. And last the John Eichmann list. But however you stipulate it, this was all a package that you get at the moment of salvation. You received it day one. And you still have the entirety of the package. You haven't lost even one item. It's a part of your undefilable assets that you cannot lose. All right. The Holy Spirit. Verse 5. Matt, read verse 5 for me. All right. Excellent. So we have ministries. The diakonia is the singular, plural. Diakonii, we'll just pluralize it. Ministries, D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A-I. And this is from the Lord Jesus Christ. One Lord. The Holy Spirit gives gifts, but Jesus Christ opens doors for ministry. Opens doors for ministry. And if you get nothing else, tonight, learn the difference between gifts and ministries. Because they're different. You can have two pastor teachers. Both have the same gift. The identical gift from Ephesians 4:12. They are poimen kai didaskalos, pastor teacher. And they have widely different ministries. All right? Jim Myers over in Kiev. Great example. He's a pastor teacher. All right? But his ministry is a missionary ministry in Ukraine. I have the gift of pastor teacher. My primary ministry is a pulpit ministry of a local church. the shepherding of a flock, what we call a domestic pastorate. All right? Now, is that to say that I couldn't do what Jim Myers does or what Ralph LaRosa does? Another example. He's a pastor-teacher, but in a different ministry. See, I could someday down the road if the Lord was to open that door. See, and so could you. Because the ministry is not necessarily tied to any one gift. I'll say that again. No ministry is tied to any one gift. All right? Now, there are particular ministries that we tend to say, you know what? The pulpit ministry of a local church, the shepherding ministry of a shepherd over a flock, by nature, the pastor-teacher gift is best suited for that ministry. And I won't disagree with you on that. The pastor-teacher gift is best suited to shepherd a flock. But is the pastor-teacher gift the only gift who could shepherd a flock? That's true. It is not. We'll outline that for you here in a moment. Because, maybe it'll help to use some of the other gifts. For example, do you have to have the gift of evangelist to evangelize? No. Every believer, no matter what your gift is, should evangelize. But the believers with a gift of evangelist are going to be supernaturally equipped through the functioning of their spiritual gift to do so above and beyond what the rest of us can do. So they are best suited, but they're not the only ones who can occupy the office of an evangelist, see, or to serve in the ministry of a missionary. Likewise, do you have to have the gift of giving in order to give? You have to have the gift of teacher to teach. You have to have the gift of encourager to encourage. Say, sorry, pastor, I can't encourage you. That's not my gift. All right? No. And so if you carry the thought across to pastor-teacher, do you have to have the gift of poimenkai didaskalos, pastor-teacher, in order to shepherd? Technically, no, you do not. And there are occasions where, for short periods of time, interim pulpits, interim ministries, for example, you may have an evangelist that holds down the fort for a period of time until such time as God opens the door for a pastor teacher to come in. Or you may have an older man with some tremendous maturity. I haven't even talked about spiritual maturity yet. That's another component we're going to have to deal with. So we have gifts and we have ministries. And I'll just put pastor teacher to start with. It's really the least important. That's why I listed it last in charismatology. And we'll put local church shepherd ministry, such as we have here, a stateside domestic pulpit ministry of a local church. All right? That's one ministry. But what else might a pastor teacher do? If he wasn't pastoring a church, what might he find himself doing? He might be in an evangelism ministry. What else? Bible college, yeah, seminary. He could be teaching at a Bible college. Might be teaching languages somewhere. Might be overseas on a mission field. Maybe he would be a chaplain in a jail facility or a military capacity. There's any number of ministries that would be open to that gift. Start to think in a broad variety of gifts and ministries. All right, the third verse then. Jacob, read verse 6 for me, please. There you go. Effects. All right. And these are the, I'm doing this off the top of my head. What's the Greek word? Energetes. Energetai. It's close enough by memory. Energetai. Gematon. So it's neuter. Okay. Energemata. Make it plural. Make it match the charismata. Energemata. All right, where do we get the word energy? It's the works, the actual things that you accomplish. For example, I'm a pastor teacher in a pulpit ministry of a local church. What then do I do? Not a lot, that's right. This morning, I shepherding oversaw a prayer meeting. That was a work. That was an energema. It was a work. It was a thing. It was a work thing. Okay? Am I the one that did it? I was the tool in the Father's hands. All right. One God. Now, since we've had the Holy Spirit, since we've had the Lord, I believe in context, the reference to Theos in verse 6 is the Father. And I believe the Father not only from the context of verse 4 to verse 5 to verse 6, I also believe it's the Father because of the book of Philippians that tells us it is the Father who is at work, energeo, who is at work in and through you, both willing to do of His good pleasure. Now, the Father has placed you in Christ, and the Father has put the Holy Spirit inside of you. So there are two members of deity working hand in hand with the Father, but at the end of the day, it's God the Father who is at work in and through you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. All right, so the works that you do, every Bible class, if you're a pastor, every Bible class you teach, every prayer meeting you lead, everything that you do, maybe you conduct a ministry workshop. That's a work. It's an energema, plural energemata. And the workings are what the Father does. And where the Father does the most is in the workings that are on the basis of a spiritual gift through an open door ministry of Jesus Christ. All right? Because then you have all three members of Trinity at work in your Christian way of life. So these are the workings, the actual things that you work. The things that you work. So, let's consider other things. Okay, this should put things in a new light. Because everything you do around here can be put as an energemata. And it should be done under the filling of the Holy Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ. If it can be done in coincidence with a gift and a ministry, that's all the better. But it doesn't have to be, and we'll talk about that a little bit too. But even brewing a pot of coffee, appreciate that. Whoever brewed the pot of coffee, I'm drinking it, I'm very blessed. You say, well, that's something earthly, that's something stupid. Anybody can brew a pot of coffee. Yes, it's an earthly thing, but it's very appreciated. All right? It served a purpose. It is a blessing to me and everyone else that's consuming coffee here at the moment. Now, any unbeliever can brew coffee. Right? Any unbeliever can start a coffee business and put 6,000 franchises around the planet. No names. Okay? But now, a believer, under the filling of the Holy Spirit, can recognize a need and see, oh, wow, we just finished a pot. We need to brew a new pot. And rather than grumbling about, why am I always the one who has to brew coffee around here, they can say, you know what? Here's an opportunity. Here is a little thing that I can do that's going to be a blessing. And I want to make sure I'm doing it in the filling of the Holy Spirit for the right motivation. All right? So that Jesus Christ is exalted and glorified. And no one else is going to notice. No one else is going to know. You're not going to paint a sign saying, so-and-so brewed this pot of coffee. Please thank me. Okay? But your Father who sees in secret will repay. And this goes for changing diapers in the nursery, cutting the grass, making tapes, printing copies, all the little things that get done around here that seem to go unnoticed. The behind-the-scenes work, what Colonel Thiem called the invisible heroes. You do so under the filling of the Holy Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ, for the good pleasure of God the Father. And it's gold, silver, and precious stones in the judgment seat of Christ. All right, so we have varieties of gifts, varieties of ministries, varieties of effects, or distributions of gifts, ministries, and effects. So these are the things that we want to pray over. These are the things that we want to consider. Although, to be honest, these last items, we can relax a bit and simply allow Him to do the work as we pursue our gift and our ministry. The workings are going to come. The effects will get done as you stay obedient to being what God wants you to be, going where God wants you to go, you will naturally be doing what God wants you to do. All right? So that third one works itself out if you align yourself consistently with item number one and item number two. All right, let's talk about these gifts. First of all, before we list them, let's flip over to 1 Peter. And Let's take a look. I believe it's 1 Peter 4:10. I'll go ahead and open my Greek text so I don't, speaking off the top of my head, get caught by these Greek students that are watching. All right. Now, I'm going to stop you partway through a verse. David, can you read this one aloud? When I say stop, go ahead and stop. 1 Peter 4:10. Stop, right there. Thank you. We'll let you finish it here in a moment. As each one has received a special gift, employ it. Or we might say, use it. God gave you a gift. Use it. Remember what we learned tonight. If you know the right thing to do and do not do it, sin of omission, you now know that God gave you a gift. And you know that there's a command. You've received it. Use it. Use it. If you fail to use your gift, you're disobeying the Word of God. All right, read the whole verse now, please. I'm sorry. Excellent. Employ it in serving one another. In serving one another. Your gift is designed not for you. Your gift is designed for the other believers in your congregation. It's everybody else's gift that's designed for you. So you don't have to worry about taking care of you. We got, what, 74 members in our membership directory. There's 174 birthdays in the fellowship directory. All right. So you don't have to worry about ministering to you. There's 173 others that can minister to you. You need to worry about ministering to those 173 others. And if you get that taken care of, you won't have any time to worry about yourself, right? There's 173 others on that fellowship directory. Wow. All right. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards. Remember, this coincides with our stewardship. The dispensation of the church, the age in which we live, is the first age ever where believer priests received a spiritual gift on a universal basis. In Israel, they had some certain gifts. They had prophets. They had other gifts, judges that had, you know, Samson with his great strength. And there were other giftings in the Old Testament, but they were very rare. Yeah, there were tabernacle builders and so forth. All right? But in our stewardship, everybody has one. And we're expected to be faithful with the stewardship we've been given. It is required that a steward be found faithful. Now, the word that's often overlooked is the word as, because we just kind of gloss over it. It's just a little word there that, whoops, oh well. The first word, as, even as, in the same manner as. Don't overlook the as you have received a gift. So ask yourself, how did I receive that gift? And that will explain how you're supposed to use the gift. You received it by grace. You received it by grace. So how are you supposed to use your gift as you employ it in serving one another? By grace. As a steward of the manifold grace of God. If you withhold your gift, or if you condition your gift, if you approach your gift like a bargaining chip, a wheel and deal, a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of deal, you're not functioning on grace. You received your gift on a grace basis. You use your gift on a grace basis. As each one has received a special gift, in that manner, employ it. In that manner, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, we have two broad categories of gifts in verse 11. The speakers and the servers. Whoever speaks and whoever serves. Now, so when we stipulate these 11 gifts, we can categorize them into those two broad categories. We typically place four of them into the speaking category and seven of them into the non-speaking or to the serving category. Now, does that mean because you have a communication gift, you can never serve? Now, you should be. And because you have a serving gift, does that mean you never have to communicate? That's right. Every single one of us is expected to give an account for the hope that is within us to any who would ask. If somebody asks you about the hope that's within you, you can't say, oh, sorry, it's not my gift. Let me go find a communicator. All right? If they ask you, then it's your at-bat. You're at the plate. All right. Now, all of this presupposes that you know what your gift is. Right? If you don't know what your gift is, how do you obey this verse? How do you know if I'm a speaker or a server? How do I know what I'm supposed to do? When we get back to 1 Corinthians 12, we'll see that the gifts have things that they do. He who teaches in his teaching. He who gives in his liberality. It's a good verse for liberals in the New Testament. We should be liberal in grace giving. All right? All the gifts have activity associated with it, but if you don't know what your gift is, how do you do it? All right. This leads me now to Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:17. We can do sword drills. We have children here tonight, so be careful. Some of these kids are fast page flippers. And I'm glad we have children tonight, because this is doctrine they can take in and apply. Doesn't matter that they're 11 years old, 13 years old, 15 years old, 17 years old. Doesn't matter. They're born again by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. They have a spiritual gift. And they're to employ it as stewards of the manifold grace of God. Ephesians 5:17. Casey, read that for us. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Is it the will of the Lord for you to use your spiritual gift? Yeah, we just saw that, 1 Peter 4. Is it the will of the Lord for you to know what your spiritual gift is? Yes. And if you don't, what does this verse call you? A fool. That's right. That you are being foolish. There you go. So, we're then led to ask, okay, well, how do I learn? How do I know? What are the steps I go through? We'll talk about that. If we run out of time tonight, we'll resume next week with this process, because we're going to go beyond everything we've covered so far tonight as part of basics. We're going to go beyond this next week, the week after, the week after that. We actually have four sessions. The bulletin says three. We have four. The 23rd is also a PMW night. So we got four nights, four Sunday nights in a row. All right. All right, what are some of the gifts? Besides pastor, teacher, there are three other communication gifts. Evangelist, prophet. Who said prophet? I'm going to throw you out of my class. I only want the permanent gifts. So no apostles, no prophets, no miracles. All right, pastor, teacher, evangelist, exhorter, same gift. Nope. That ended with tongues. If there's no more tongues, there's no more interpreter. It's actually, no, faith, that's a serving gift. It's actually teacher. The non-pastor teacher. All right? It's a teaching gift that's listed in Romans chapter 12, separate from the poimen kai didaskalos. There are teachers by gift. They don't have the shepherd heart, and that's fine. They're not designed to be shepherds, but they are designed to be teachers. A lot of these guys end up in seminaries. Now we get to the serving gifts, okay? Giver. Somebody mentioned faith worker. Mercy shower. Shower. Administrator. Helps. Or helper. Let's go ahead and keep it with participial er endings. What else? Prayer warrior. Great. I wish there was a gift for that. It's actually a ministry. There are prayer ministries, and we'll talk about those coming up. We're missing two. Faith worker, because faith without works is dead. Faith worker. No cheating. Don't go look up the book. Ministry. This is the server minister. Timothy ministered to Paul for 3 years as a server minister. Starts with an L. Leadership. Leader. Non-speaking leaders. They're not communicators, but they're leaders. And they lead in the realm of service. They lead in the realm of service. All right, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Those are the 11 that we spelled out in basic doctrinal studies. Some books or pastors or classes will have gifts beyond this. And that's okay. Kind of, sort of. Where they list those is always interesting. In some cases, they're variants of these. And in some cases, what they are is that they fail to recognize that they are ministries or expressions of gifts. For example, hospitality is frequently cited as a spiritual gift. And yet we find that hospitality is a ministry. Most often, hospitality is a ministry that's the expression of the showing of mercy. But it might be an expression of a giver, might be an expression of a helper, might be an expression of a server minister. Okay? But hospitality is more of a realm of operation, which makes it a ministry as opposed to a gift. All right, good job. Now, we discussed before also the nature of the temporary gifts, and some of you were asking about prophet and apostle and some of those. I'm not going to go into those. I did not go into those in basics. We may touch on them here in the intermediate studies. Truly, we'll develop them in advanced doctrinal studies. We went through the scriptures in chapter 12, chapter 13. You have the understanding of when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. You have the recognition for why the sign gifts were given and the purpose for those gifts. And there's no purpose to have them today any more than there's a purpose to have tabernacle building today. See, who here wants to have the gift of tabernacle building? Or you know the fellows that made the garments for the high priests, they had garment tailoring giftedness. Would you want to have that gift today? What would you do with it? All right, the Levitical priesthood is not a functioning priesthood in our stewardship. It will resume functioning after the rapture, and it'll resume functioning in an apostate condition, preparing the way for Antichrist and the tribulation. So I think even then you still don't want to have that gift or participate in that activity, right? All right. What's that? No. No, they're in the land of unbelief, and everything they do is going to be under human effort. That's right. The giftedness that Israel will receive will be after the second advent when he pours out his spirit on all mankind, Joel chapter 2. And Israel will receive a giftedness in the millennial kingdom and not before. Okay, do we have any questions on this? This is kind of a good review. If you're with us in basics, then this is a review. If you were not with us in basics, then this was a very rapid summary of about 8 hours of teaching in 30 minutes. All right. The neat thing about this is that you go through a process. I'm going to give you, not tonight, I'm just going to tease you with it tonight, but you go through consideration to conviction to confession. You're going to go through a process, and it starts with consideration. And right now, it may be that the majority of believers in our congregation are in the consideration phase. In other words, you're considering. You consider that you might have a particular gift. Or you consider that you might have a different gift. Or you might have four gifts under consideration. You've ruled out other ones. You've ruled out pastor-teacher. You've ruled out whatever else. You ruled out the 9 temporary gifts from the apostolic age. All right, but the remainder now are under consideration. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with consideration. I want to give you some verses tonight on consideration. But like I said, I think we're going to hold off a little bit until next week to go through some of those steps as far as how you go from consideration to conviction to confession. And the confession, by the way, has nothing to do with rebound or 1 John 1:9. All right? Because Jesus Christ made the good confession in the presence of Pontius Pilate. Anybody here think that he was rebounding something? Okay? No. Trust me, if Jesus had to confess, rebound before Pilate, then he couldn't have gone to the cross the next day. That's right, or later that day. So, the good confession. We got some study to do on confession that's more than just simply the acknowledgement of your sins and the restoration of fellowship. So we'll have some things to say about that. All right, gifts. The neat thing about gifts is that once you do reach the conviction stage, and even before you get to the confession stage, once you are under conviction, it is life-changing. It is momentous. It is a pivotal point in your life. You won't ever forget it. And you won't ever doubt it. It will carry with it a certainty or a certitude that will be just as powerful as even your own salvation. Some things to consider on this. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll tease you with a passage. And it's down towards the end of the chapter, down to about verse 25, 26. Cliff, you too tired to read that?
For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble.
No, that's fine. Well, go ahead. Read the first part of verse 27. There you go. Okay. Consider your calling. Consider your calling. I'm just teasing you a little bit about what we're going to study next week when we talk about considerations, convictions, and confessions. But this is one of your verses for consideration. Consider your calling. That's a command. See, there's nothing wrong with pondering, wondering, dreaming, thinking. All right? But understand that in that process has a goal of understanding. That process has a goal of coming to a conclusion. You must be convinced. Another C word that I'm throwing in there. I'm kind of using convincing and convicting interchangeably. But if you start considering tonight what your gift might be, and 45 years from now you're still considering what your gift might be, I'm going to tell you, that's a problem. That's a problem. How long does it take? It doesn't take that long. All right? Now, for some, it'll take longer. Some, it'll go quicker. Some, it'll be overwhelming and obvious. In some cases, 14 other people in this room will know your gift before you will. And they'll laugh at you. And they'll say, why didn't you figure that out? I figured that out 5 years ago. All right? That's fine. Because like other areas of the will of God study, the truth of God's will becomes confirmed by the multitude of the witnesses. And in part, why the laying on of hands becomes so significant as a public testimony for ministers, for pastor teachers, for evangelists, for the communicating gifts, is that it's a public witness and a testimony that this person has a gift. This man is anointed of the Lord for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the laying on of hands doesn't impart any superpowers or anything like that. It doesn't transmit any of the apostolic blessings through succession to the present day or anything like that. But what it does do is it identifies. It's like the sinner in Leviticus who lays his hand on the sheep's head and identifies with that sheep and says, you know what? I'm the sinner, but this sheep's going to die in my place. And it's identification. The laying on of hands is identification. We'll have more to say on that when we talk about the ordination of pastor teachers. So consider your calling. And then the rest of that's kind of fun too. God's not up there in heaven just beside himself saying, oh man, look at that believer. He's so special. He's so great. I'm just going to have to make him a pastor teacher or whatever else. All right? Remember, you didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. And typically it's just the opposite. God, in eternity past, before the foundation of the world, looked through the eons of time, saw every human being that would ever live, saw every human being that would ever accept Christ unto salvation, saw those that would be believers of our present stewardship, elected them in Christ, assigned the spiritual gifts, and for the most part, as a rule, selected the most pathetic ones he could come up with to make them the spectacles. And the most pathetic became apostles. And of course, he arranged for them to be born in the apostolic age to fit into that spot. In our day and age, it's the pastor teachers. All right? And that's to make the point. That's to demonstrate that it's not natural ability. The one thing also you want to walk away from here with, I have said nothing tonight about talent. Nothing about talent. There are people in this world who have talent. There are people in this room who have talent. Jacob has talent. Everybody amazes me sometimes. The whole Williams family amazes me sometimes with their talent. But that's not the same as giftedness, spiritual giftedness, charismata. All right? Now, you can have a certain amount of natural talent and not do anything with it. You can have a certain amount of natural talent and actually train it, discipline it, work it, shape it. See? Athletes that are notorious for having more talent than they deserve and actually relying on the talent. See? That was one of the things that caused Griffey and Randy Johnson to come at loggerheads with each other. And Randy wasn't trying to be insulting or anything. He just pointed out that Griffey had such natural talent that it just came to him with ease. And that other players didn't have the natural talent, had to work at it harder and harder and harder, see. And Griffey took that to be an insult, meaning that he didn't work hard or whatever kind of thing. Anyway, it wasn't meant that way, but that's how he took it. Let's not confuse talent. Natural talent, even a natural talent that's worked at, with giftedness. They're entirely different. Because human beings can have all kinds of talent. We're created in the image of God, and so the realm of humanity is going to have talent in a variety of different ways. Creative ways. In some cases, creativity will come across musically, it'll come across artistically, it'll come across in written form, it'll come across linguistically. Everybody has creativity in some form or fashion. Let's not confuse natural ability with giftedness. In fact, I think inconsistent with this passage too, not many mighty, not many wise according to the flesh. And God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. I think he actually delights in doing this. He actually delights in taking personalities that would not naturally be comfortable in a particular realm, gifting them, and having Jesus Christ open ministries that are totally at odds with their comfort zones. That way they learn very quickly to rely on him. See? It takes people that are bashful. People that would not like to speak in public. That's me. I do not like crowds. I do not like speaking in front of people. Absolutely not. Terrifies me. So what did God do? He who sits in the heavens laughs, right? That's what he does. And therefore, Jesus Christ can get all the glory. And we can't claim any credit for any of these things. All right. We have gifts. We have ministries. Let's talk about ministries. I mentioned the Williams family. Let's talk about music. Music ministry. Now, there's all kinds of music ministries, right? What kind of music ministries are there? Give me a music ministry example. Church piano player. I'm sorry? Yeah, writing hymns. Music writer, that's right. All kinds of things. You could sing in a quartet. You might be a soloist. You might accompany, travel with an evangelist. Many of the early American evangelists traveled with a song leader. All right? All kinds of music ministries. What gift do you have to be in a music ministry? Which of those 11 gifts It's a trick question. That's right. It's a trick question. John Page in Medford, Oregon. He's one of the best concert pianists I've ever met in my entire life. He's wonderful. Actually trained in classical concert piano playing. Now he pastors a church. Sometimes he has to play himself. He's his own piano pianist for some of his own church services. That's fine. Any gift, that's right. And you might have five or six believers that join together for a particular music ministry. That's fine. They could have five or six different gifts. They probably do. And those gifts are going to combine together in that ministry and accomplish the energemata, the workings that the Father wants to accomplish through that combination. Mentioned a prayer ministry. Prayer ministry. I can't tell you how powerful those prayer ministries are. We're still hurting in this congregation with Gary Williams' departure. Because Gary Williams was such an anchor to the prayer ministry of this church. All right? A lady I know from Seattle, Washington, she's with the Lord now. A lady named Ann LaQuare. All right? Let me double check that. I might be wrong on that. And I'm on tape. All of a sudden it just struck me. I don't think, maybe she is still with us. That's right. Frank's with the Lord. Her husband's with the Lord. No, she's still here. All right, I misspoke. Which is a good thing. I'm glad she's still here. Because she prays more than any four believers I know on this planet. That woman is a legend. All right? It's going to be fun to watch her at the judgment seat of Christ. To watch probably a whole legion of angels that are tasked with wheelbarrows just to carry her gold, silver, and precious stones away from the Bema seat. That woman is amazing. Got married at 14. As I mentioned, her husband just buried. He's in hell today. To my knowledge, he wanted nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. She prayed for him. She prayed for him. She prayed for him for nearly 80 years. His obituary appeared the same day that Byron's did up in the Seattle Times. That's right. In any event, the more I share these stories, the more I'm convinced that Ann LaQuare is still with us, so that's a good thing. But this lady, Matt knows who she is, and she would send me cards. I left home more than 20 years ago, and she would send me cards overseas in the Army, everywhere. When I was here, when I was training, I'd get birthday cards. I'd get all kinds of things. And saying, I'm praying for you. And that meant everything. Absolutely meant everything in the world. Prayer ministry is powerful. What gift do you have to pray? Any of them. That's right. It's a trick question. Any gift can be involved in this. I do believe, however, that the gift of faith worker is spiritually empowered, supernaturally equipped, above and beyond any other giftedness in the church age to move mountains. If you have the faith of a mustard seed. All right. Now, those believers that are gifted in that know their gift, that have trained that gift, that participate in prayer ministries are a powerful feature for any local church. Local church ministry, prayer ministry, hospitality ministry, music ministry, what other ministries might there be? I'm sorry? Evangelism. There you go. And goodness, how many settings might there be? There's child evangelism, street evangelism, hospital evangelism, jail evangelism, foreign missions, laundromat evangelism, playground evangelism, guitar shop evangelism. Okay. Do you have to be an evangelist by gift to take part in an evangelism ministry? There you go. You're catching on to this. What if you have an evangelism team that goes into an area, say child evangelism, and a school opens up, and you put three or four believers together? Wouldn't it be great? I think it'd be great if one of the members on the team actually was an evangelist. It'd be better if you had a team, say you had a team of four, and none of them were an evangelist. Okay, you can still do it. But it'd be better if one was spiritually empowered, above and beyond anybody else for that function. So you have an evangelist, then you got a helper, you got an administrator, If you've got a server minister, you've got a leader, they all can come alongside and they can all function in that particular ministry. It might be you have a server minister and all he does is drive or turn the lights on, get the air conditioning going, or something service-wise to make sure that the maybe they're just cooking, baking up the cookies or whatever for the snacks after the class is over with. But that's their part in the overall ministry. And so while they're slaving away in the kitchen, they can do what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit? Offer their service up as a sweet-smelling savor? You know, they're sliding the tray in at 375 for 1 hour, whatever you do for, I don't know how you bake cookies. Right? But whatever they do, they can say, Father, all right, they're burnt cookies, whatever they are. But you say, Father, thank you for allowing me to participate in this ministry. And I pray that the evangelist will have words for utterance. I pray that the helper will be aware of the needs, of the helping needs. Pray that the other things will take place. Pray that the server will get the lights on, the air conditioning going. Pray that these cookies don't get burned. All right? And commit this work of service to the glory of Jesus Christ, laying up treasures in heaven. Now, any unbeliever can bake cookies. But you just did so for the glory of Jesus Christ under the filling of the Holy Spirit for the good pleasure of God the Father. You did so as the part of a ministry. And if you did so in recognition of a gift in coincidence with that ministry, then it's doubled up even more. So we got local church ministries, evangelism ministries, prayer ministries, music ministries. And just because somebody has a talent doesn't mean that that's where they have to serve. All right? It might be that because they're so talented, everyone calls upon them all the time. They find that they serve in that area all the time, but they don't have a heart for it. In which case, it gets harder and harder and harder to actually do so in fellowship for the glory of Jesus Christ, for the pleasure of God the Father. In which case, they're better off using their talent for non-ministry pursuits and reserving that ministry for somebody else that's gifted in that realm, that's burdened in that realm, that has the door open in that realm. Okay, just a few more minutes here. We've got a good sampling. Now, we can build on this. But when you go through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are varieties of gifts, varieties of ministries, varieties of effects. And then it goes on, and in the passage that follows, what you have is a listing of gifts. The passage introduced the varieties of ministries, but doesn't list them. The passage introduces the workings, but doesn't list them. Truthfully, the listings are endless. The listings are endless. You and I can sit down tonight and just keep listing ministries until the cows come home, whatever that means, right? But we can just keep listing ministries. How about running a website, running a blog about urban music, huh? Why didn't Paul write that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? It's actually endless. It has to do with the infinite flexibility of gifted believers being used in any capacity as the Lord opens a door. The thing you want to chew on between now and next week is the idea of doors. Opening and closing of doors. Because that takes you into the realm of ministry, not the realm of gifts. The door will never close to my gift of pastor-teacher. Is there a verse that says that? Without repentance, Romans chapter 11. You cannot lose your gift any more than you can lose your salvation. All right? But my door to ministry at Austin Bible Church, that might close. I might close tomorrow. I might close tonight. It's Jesus Christ's business. He's the head of the church. All right? Other doors may open. I believe that this training ministry was an open door 3 years ago. The neat thing, when Jesus Christ opens a door, no man can shut it. And He expects that by faith we're going to walk through. But He opens doors no man can shut. He shuts doors that no man can open. Some ministries come to an end. Is that a failure? Okay. That's right. If He closes the door, then His purpose for that ministry has been complete. We praise Him for it. We praise Him for it. So, think about doors opening and closing. There was a passage that we hit tonight in 1 Corinthians 16, if you're here for the 6 o'clock hour. And it wasn't in my notes for tonight, but I thought, you know, it really should be. 1 Corinthians 16:9. We didn't really touch on it. Just a few couple verses down from the verse that we did read in verse 7. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. As we function the Christian way of life, we have to recognize that our plans may not be His plans. You know, He formed His plans with perfect omniscience before the foundation of the world. We form our plans every day, maybe not even that. Okay? Do you plan a day ahead of time? 2 days ahead of time? A week ahead of time? A month ahead of time? Sometimes I plan a day ahead of time when I have to. Okay? You want to book a guy like Arnold, then you got to do it 2 years or 3 years out, then you're forced to plan ahead of time. That's not my personality. It's not my nature. Okay? Things like that. We have plans. We make plans. The Lord is the one that brings the things about that He wants to have about. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. Notice, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me. We want to know where the doors are open. And if they're open, are they open wide? And if they're open wide, then it's so obvious not only do you see it, but the fallen angels see it, and you step up to the plate to some conflict. A wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. When the Lord opened the door for a training ministry at this lampstand in Austin, Texas, angelic conflict intensified. That surprise anybody? Huh. You think the adversary wants believers equipped with their spiritual gift, trained to enter into ministry, armored and equipped to enter into battle? No. Adversary doesn't want any part of that. So conflict steps up. All right, do we have any questions on any of this? Gifts or ministries? You understand the varieties, how any of those could plug into any of these, and you can mix and match, and that brings about additional variety through the mixing and the matching? Does that all make sense? Here, you can lose it. A door can be closed. You can actually forfeit it. You can fail a ministry, and the Lord will remove you from ministry. The faithless shepherds of Ezekiel 34, for example. The pastor in Revelation 2 left his first love. Jesus Christ said, you better turn that around or I will remove your lampstand from out of its place. And the pastor of Ephesus was fixing to lose his church if he didn't straighten up. You can lose a ministry. You can't lose your gift, but you can lose a ministry. Doors can open, doors can close. You can pray for a ministry. You can pray for a ministry. You must be found faithful for a ministry. 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because He considered me faithful, putting me into service. Now the gift you've had since the day you got saved. But God the Father will not place you into service. Jesus Christ will not place you into service. Primarily, the one that places us into service is Christ, because service is a ministry function, and Jesus Christ is the head of the church. But since He doesn't do anything apart from the Father's will, we can state the Father here too, but in any event, Father and Son, in this case it's the Son, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because He considered me faithful, putting me into service. You have the gift you've had it since the day you were saved, but you will get placed into service when Jesus Christ considers you faithful, considers that you have trained, equipped, prepared, and kept yourself available. I'm going to close with these concepts, give you some things to think about. Pastor John Eichmann teaches this, and he teaches it repeatedly. I've heard it so many times, I can say it in my sleep. I can even say it in his tone of voice, I've heard it so much. All right? God uses prepared people. God uses prepared people. God also uses available people. And you want to be both. You want to be prepared, you also want to be available. Some believers are prepared, but they're not available. They allow their details of life. They got so much going on. They're so busy working and doing all this other stuff. And they're not available. They might have some training. They might have some doctrine. They might have some maturity. But their personal life is such that they're not available for anything in spiritual life. I mean, they're lucky to make it out to church a couple times a month. And that's like asking a lot. Come on, they got things to do. All right? God uses prepared people. God uses available people. Now, some people are available. They got all kinds of availability. But they're not prepared. That's a problem. God uses prepared people. God uses available people. The purpose of this ministry workshop is to provide for both of those events. We want every one of us to be prepared. We want every one of us to be available in obedience to the Father's plan. All right, I'm going to close in prayer. Are you ready to kill the recording? Okay, excellent. Any final questions? Any last questions? Yes. That's true. The timing for open doors versus closed doors is entirely His. We get in a hurry. His timetable is not our table. So we may get impatient to say, why won't this door get opened? You know, I got ordained on November 4th, 1994. Why was I not pastoring the next weekend? You know, why was there a delay? And different things like that. Lord opens doors in His perfect timing. And that's an excellent point to make out. Any other questions? Comments? Yes, ma'am.
I had a friend, she was an all the guests that was praying for the gift of prophecy.
Okay.
And I guess I've heard of praying for gifts, praying for gifts.
How do you pray for something you already received? How do you pray for something that you received in the moment of your salvation? You actually had your gift before you knew you had your gift. So that's, and makes for a, it makes for a non-biblical prayer request to receive a gift. Now, you can pray for open doors. You can pray for ministries. You can pray, you can desire offices. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work that he desires to do. 1 Timothy 3:1. But actually praying over, oh, I hope I have a gift. I want to have a gift. Oh, Lord, make me an evangelist. Make me a pastor. Make me, I want the gift of giving. Sign me up for the gift of giving. I want God the Father to bless me abundantly. Make me a billionaire tomorrow. And I'll serve you, Jesus. I will serve. I'll give. Okay? Now, if it was up to us, you see what I'm saying? We don't pray for the gifts. We don't ask for the gifts. There are a couple of passages in 1 Corinthians that talk about you, plural, y'all, desire gifts. And that is a corporate assembly. For example, I desired for years to have a gifted evangelist in this congregation. It didn't mean that I wanted to have the gift personally. I just wanted a gifted believer with that gift to become an active part of this flock. So a congregation can desire gifts. I've been desiring an administrator, for example. And that's a congregation desiring a gift, but that's for a gifted believer to be assigned by Jesus Christ to a ministry. But for a believer to actually pray over, God, I want this gift, I want this gift, it's like praying over, it's nonsensical. It's like praying, I hope when I'm born that I'm a boy and not a girl. Well, by the time you're alive to make that kind of a prayer, you've already been born. That's right. Yeah, it's too late. You are what you are, and that's what He made you by grace. And so praying for a gift like that is like praying over something, you know, I want to be born. I want to be Michael Dell's kid instead of, you know, there, I'm back to money again. But you see what I'm saying? You can't pray for it retroactively. Right. It's spoken to a corporate context instead of an individual context. Yeah. All right, then. I'll dismiss in prayer. This is only the first session out of four. I did not address tonight, how do you know? You know, don't go to a website that says whatismyspiritualgift.com, okay, and fill out their questionnaire. It's kind of humorous. Some of them, by the way, include the apostolic gifts. You know, I ended up as an apostle on one of those. They're fun, okay? But a lot of them, though, incorporate humanism. They incorporate the psychology of the temperaments and different things like that that are not biblical. All right, we want to be cautious against those kind of things. As I mentioned, it is the will of God, and so we're going to study next week, how do I know my spiritual gift? And it's on the basis of the will of God. And it's very similar to how do I know what local church I should be a part of? How do I know who I should marry? How do I know anything in the will of God? What would God have me to do? And so we'll approach it on a will of God basis and answer those questions starting next week. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this ministry workshop. We thank you and we praise you. And I thank you that believers in this congregation are eager to learn about their giftedness. They're eager to consider the ministry opportunities that are in front of them. Father, more and more we're learning that the time is short. Father, the time is short, and we must be about our Father's business. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.